You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Peter Baugh joins us. Peter, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Now, like, should it be Sir Peter now that you're officially an author and not just a writer? Like, author is different than a writer, I guess.
I definitely shouldn't be Sir, but I do appreciate the shout out. I'm pretty excited about it.
Tell us quickly. Give us the Coles notes for our readers on what Force of Nature is about.
Yeah, so I think it's ideally a book that kind of shows how the team was built, the Colorado Avalanche, en route to winning the Stanley Cup, and kind of some inside stories about what it took to get there, both from this season and from past seasons, as they were trying to build up this team to become a championship contender. So I think it turned out well, and I'm excited for people to read it. There's definitely a few chapters on the Oilers series, which I'm sure people in Alberta, well, I guess it depends on where you are in Alberta, but people in Edmonton probably might not enjoy too much, but I'd like to think it offers a look at how a championship team was built and can be interesting to hockey fans everywhere.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm sure it'll be a pretty good seller in Colorado, fresh off of winning a Stanley Cup. They're still riding that high, as they should be. And now they start this season. The major question is, on the ice, but also for fantasy people, who's going to be the second-line center in Colorado now that Kadri's in Calgary?
Yeah, so they've got some options. Obviously, they're not going to be able to have the production that Kadri had last year. I mean, he had a career year. Looked like he was going to get 100 points in the season before he got hurt at the very end. So they're not going to be able to have that level of production from the second line center, but they've got some internal options with JT Compher, who played second line center when Kadri was hurt in the playoffs last year, as well as Alex Newhook, who's a first round pick from 2019. If he takes a step in his development, that could go a really long way for Colorado. He showed flashes this past season. Maybe not the consistency needed, but definitely is kind of trending in the right direction. So it'll be interesting to see if he can take the next jump. Then there's Evan Rodriguez, who they signed from Pittsburgh for 1 year, $2 million, who he played second line center for the Penguins at points and is a really useful player, maybe a little inconsistent. He kind of had a really he's streaky. He had a hot stretch at the beginning of the year and then kind of slowed down as it went on. But he's coming off a career year. So they're going to have a lot of players kind of to consider when looking at that. Or they could even move someone like Mikko Rantanen over from wing. Though I think if you have a winger as elite as Rantanen, you probably want to keep him in his natural position. But definitely some interesting options, and it also is a position that if they don't like what they're seeing come trade deadline, they could look to upgrade.
Well, yeah, I look at it. You know, the Avs, now, like a lot of teams, they don't have a ton of cap space, but they got some, right? And nowadays, man, $1.9 million in cap space seems like a mountain of cap space for that team. You know, they just got Evan Rodriguez signed 1 year at $2 million, which could turn out to be a pretty good value contract. On the back end, you know, with Makar and Johnson and Manson and Taves and Bowen Byram, you throw in Sammy Girard, like, obviously, their back end is pretty set, but like, where do you, if you have to project, considering like from the start of the year last year to the end of the year, they made 5 in-season acquisitions of players, and some of them were pretty key, you know, acquisitions for that team. Do you see a similar one, or will it be less moves for Sakic this year?
Yeah, I mean, this is the front office, Sakic and Chris McFarland. They always are kind of looking at ways to get better, as I'm sure all GMs are, but they're not afraid to put in a waiver claim like they did with Nicholas Obey-Kubel last November, and he turned out to be a useful player and played. He wasn't always in the lineup in the playoffs, but played a sizable amount of playoff games, and then all their deadline additions were big. But this is a team that's in its contention window, so they're not going to, I don't know, be afraid to maybe shell out some future capital or assets to because this is a chance for them to contend right now, you know, like so I do expect that come the trade deadline, they'll be looking to upgrade their roster and however they can. Injury will dictate some of that. I think that there's pretty clearly maybe a need for another forward, depending on how Newhook and some of those guys develop. But they'll be active for sure.
Peter Baugh joins us, a beat reporter for the Colorado Avalanche. Nathan MacKinnon signs a contract at $12.6 million, doesn't kick in until next year. And I actually think, Peter, like, he'll be 28 when that contract starts next season. And kind of, you know, like a young 28, because he turns 28 on September 1st. I actually think that contract could age quite well because MacKinnon's such an elite skater. And you see guys like, you know, Sidney Crosby. We can go down the list of top-end players who nowadays don't age poorly, right? Like, guys who are good players but not elite, we've seen them get long-term contracts and it ages terribly. But I think this contract is actually going to age quite well. And I honestly believe with the salary cap going up at the end of two seasons, I think Matthews, Draisaitl, McDavid, other guys could end up being $3, $4 million higher AAVs.
I tend to agree with you. I think that this is obviously it's a lot of money, and maybe there's going to be in the, I guess, next maybe 2 years or so, maybe it'll squeeze the abs a little bit. But you also have to remember Eric Johnson's $6 million contract is coming off the book. So essentially they're just sliding that money straight over to MacKinnon, plus a little extra, but the cap's going up. So it'll take up a smaller percentage of the cap probably even next year. And then presumably the cap's going to jump a sizable amount in the next few years. And MacKinnon will really, or the Avalanche will really benefit from that, because MacKinnon's contract will take up a smaller percentage of the cap than, say, Matthews probably will, or McDavid's next contract probably will, or Draisaitl's probably will. So I don't think it's a bad deal for the Avalanche at all. I think he's an elite player, and number one centers are really hard to find. You can't afford risking to lose him. Like, they had to sign Nathan MacKinnon, and this is the cost of a number one center. So, yeah, it's definitely a bit of a big number to look at. But when you look at how they have things structured with Johnson's contract coming off the books, I think it makes a lot of sense. And it makes sense that MacKinnon wanted this much.
Yeah, I think he's worth it for sure. You know, he did say, and I appreciated his honesty, he said, hey, it's not great being known as the best bargain contract in the NHL. So at least for a year, he'll get to be the highest paid player. Because I think Austin Matthews' contract is going to surpass it. So, and that's not a knock on Nathan MacKinnon. I just think that's inevitable. I do want to ask you about the Avalanche winning. You know, they did have an injury in the playoffs, and they didn't really miss him in Sammy Girard. Is Sammy Girard, he's got 5 years on that deal. Like, do you think he stays in Colorado, or is that a guy that potentially could be moved?
Well, I mean, anyone potentially could be moved. I know the Avalanche think very highly of him, and I think he's a good player. I think that sometimes his faults get amplified just because they're kind of noticeable, where, like, he's smaller and stuff like that, but I think they're really interested to see how he plays with Josh Manson this year. I know when they acquired Manson at the deadline last year, that was a pairing they were really excited to try out. So I think that there's going to be, they definitely are happy. Like, they think Girard's a good player, and that's a good contract. But it's hard to project. I mean, they're going to have some really hard decisions in the next few years with, I mean, Devontae's is extension eligible next offseason, and Bowen Byram's going to be a restricted free agent, and he'll need a boost. So it's going to be hard to keep everyone, and who knows what cap crunches will force them to do. But I don't think that's anything necessarily they're imminently looking at.
And lastly, they were able to win in the playoffs without, you know, and obviously it had to do with, you know, the eyesight and the issues for that in goal. I think that played a factor for Kemper, because Kemper, when Colorado really got rolling, Kemper was great in December and January and February for them. I think he had like a 928, 929 save percentage or something like that. But now Georgiev comes in, and here's his opportunity to be a starter. He's behind a Stanley Cup winning roster, which is going to help, and it's a roster that didn't necessarily need a goalie to win them the Stanley Cup. So it looks like a pretty good situation, but how much concern is there at all about, you know, an unproven starter being the starter?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's it's concerned yet, just because you haven't seen it. Like, none of us have seen him play for the Avalanche yet, but it's definitely a kind of an interesting strategy that you don't always see teams take. I mean, the Avalanche are essentially saying, we think our roster is good enough that we can use our cap space elsewhere and save on goaltending and not sign Darcy Kuemper, not bring him back, and kind of, rather than that, spend $5.5 million on the tandem of Georgiev and Francouz, which is kind of different from what you're always, like, with the old mantra of, like, you need to have a hot goalie in the playoffs. The Avalanche are kind of saying, no, we think we can get away with having a cheaper goalie. And I also think that they do see a lot of potential in Georgiev. I think they see his potential and think that maybe he got blocked a little bit behind Shesterkin, and that he'll do better with better defense in front of him and with more playing time. So it'll be up to him to prove them right, because he'll definitely have a chance to. This is about as ideal a situation as you can ask for if you're a goaltender. And I know he said he's really excited to get going, and we'll see how he does.
Peter, great stuff. We appreciate it. Best of luck with the book, my man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.